I want to preach this morning on the seven judgments. Last Sunday, I preached on the seven mysteries of God, and I want to do a teaching. This is as much a teaching as it is a preaching, but I want to preach this morning on the seven judgments. The seven judgments of God. The seven judgments of God. We're going to start here in Ezekiel chapter 20. We're going to be there at verse 33. Now, our God is a righteous God. Our God is a jealous God. Our God is a God of love. Our God is a God of war. God is a God of wrath. But one of the things we forget about our God, He's a God of judgment. Everybody in this room, I don't care if you are a born-again believer or if you don't believe at all, if you're a Jew or who you are, you will be judged by God. We're coming. And I'm going to talk about you're going to be one of these seven judgments. You're going to fall under one of these seven judgments. I believe a lot of us are going to fall under a certain one. We'll get to it. But even if you're lost in here, you're going to fall under this judgment, one of the judgments of the Lord God. Look at Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 33. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. Look at that, fury's poured out. I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. That started happening in 1948 when God had spread them to all. He spread the Jews, Israel, to all the known world after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in 70 AD. He destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and the Jews scattered to all the known world. And that's where they were, and their land basically sat desolate with a few goats on it and some Muslims living on it. And then in 1948, He called them back as a nation. And you see in the last 7 years, as God started pouring with His mighty hand, started bringing the Jew back in to their homeland, which is an amazing thing. It's prophecy being fulfilled. He said, verse 35, and I'll bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod. That's the judgment. And I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, that covenant of the land of Israel. Verse 38, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. That right there we just read is the judgment of Israel. The first one we're looking at this morning is the judgment of Israel. Brother Hank, do you mind praying over this service, please, brother? Thank you.
Father, we just come to you, Father. Thank you. For
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you for these people, Lord, that love you. Yes.
House, this morning, Father, Lord, yes. Great day. You bless us with here, Father.
Yes.
Father, we pray as the service goes on, Father, that you would bless the preaching and the teaching of your
yes,
word.
Yes, Lord. I pray this sink in. Yes, Lord.
Appointed time comes, Father, and be a witness for you, Lord. Pray with our pastor, Father, we pray you'd hide him behind the
yes, Lord, please, Lord.
Have us here this morning.
Yes.
In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. My allergies are bothering me so bad this morning. I apologize. I'm having to drink a lot of water. The Bible refers to this in Jeremiah as Jacob's trouble. And it's a judgment God's going to give Israel. And the time of this judgment, every one of these judgments, I'll try to give you a timetable so you kind of know when they're taking place. This takes place during the Great Tribulation when the church is raptured out. The church is raptured out during the Antichrist. When Antichrist comes in the rule into power, the mark of the beast is put into effect. The church is raptured out. And at that time, that's Revelation chapter 6 all the way through Revelation chapter 19 where that focuses on Israel. That's when God pours His wrath out and He's judging Israel. And it says, and this one is kind of tied to that blindness, the mystery of the blindness of Israel that I preached on last Sunday, where it's a mystery that Israel's blinded by God, that they don't take Jesus Christ. But in the end, after He judges them, this is to bring them back to Him. And when He brings them back, it says all of Israel will be saved. That was in Romans chapter 11. It says in Zechariah chapter 12 that they'll look upon me whom they pierced. Talking about Jesus Christ. They'll look upon me whom they pierced. Talking about the Jew. And they'll mourn for him as a mourn for their only son. That's the Jew realizing they crucified their Messiah. That's the judgment. That's what it's going to bring about. That's what it's going to bring about. Let's move on to the second judgment. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. So the Jews, Israel's going to be judged. The nations will be judged. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. The second judgment we're going to talk about is the judgment of nations. The judgment of the nations. Look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. There's seven of these, and we're on the second one. Look at verse 31. When the Son of Man, this is Jesus speaking, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. That's in the millennial kingdom. After the battle of Armageddon, He comes and He sits in Jerusalem on the throne of His father David, and He rules the whole world. And this is what He does. Verse 32. And before Him shall be gathered all the nations, that includes America, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. There's going to be people that survive the tribulation period. There's going to be billions of people killed, but there will definitely be people that survive that tribulation period during the Battle of Armageddon. And those people that come out, Jesus Christ, as He sits on that throne, He's going to bring these nations before Him, and they're going to represent all the different nations of the world. Canada, Iran, Iraq, America, Mexico, Brazil, all the nations of the world, they're all going to come to Jesus Christ, and He's going to divide them as a sheep from the goats. And it says here, verse 33, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. A Satanist will say he's taking the left-handed path. And what that Satanist means when he says the left-handed path is the goat path, the left-handed path, the path that goes to hell. That's what a Satanist will say. He's taking that left-handed path. Verse 34, then shall the king, that be King Jesus, say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. Naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came unto Me. Verse 37, then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee a hungered and fed Thee, or thirsty and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger and took Thee in, or naked and clothed Thee? Or when we saw Thee sick or in prison and came unto Thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. That context of that brethren is the Jew. So this judgment is for the nations and how they treated the Jew, Jesus Christ's brethren. Why is this so important? Because during the tribulation period, when the Antichrist goes directly after the Jew, and there's all prophecies and revelation about it, he goes to kill the Jew and behead the Jew, they don't take the mark of the beast, they're not allowed to eat, I mean, they're not allowed to buy food or buy drink. So you got people just like in the days of the Holocaust back in Nazi Germany where the Jews are being hidden out by Gentiles and people are hiding the Jews out and protecting them and feeding them and clothing them and helping them out. And some of them are going to be thrown in prison. There's people go to prison and try to help them out while they're in prison. And Jesus Christ says, when you're doing it to those Jews, you're doing it to Me. Brothers and sisters, I cannot encourage you enough to be careful how you treat a Jew. Don't mess with Israel. That's God's chosen people. And you can get mad about them. You can say, it's not right. They own all the banks. They probably do. They own everything. They're running the world. They probably are behind the scenes. But don't mess with them. Because Jesus Christ is directly watching everything they're doing. And He said, I'm judging you how you treat them. You treated them really good. You took care of them. They said, well, we were taking care of them, not you. You're taking care of Jesus Christ. Remember when Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus? He was struck down. Paul struck down. And what did Jesus Christ say? Paul, why persecutest Me? Saul, why persecutest Me? Well, he wasn't persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting all the Christians. But when you persecute a Christian, you're persecuting Jesus Christ. Same way with the Jew. When you're going after a Jew, you're going after Jesus Christ. This judgment's about the nations and how they treated the Jews. Now look at verse 41. Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, the goats, depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me not in. Naked, and you clothed Me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not? Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison or did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. That's an amazing verse right there. It says in Joel chapter 3, Joel chapter 3, verse 2, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people, for my heritage, Israel, whom they scattered among the nations and parted my land. That's the prophecy of God dealing with the nations. How do you think God's going to deal with Iran? Well, it's not going to be very good. I'll give you a spoiler alert on that one. All right, let's go to the next one. John chapter 16. The judgment of Satan and his angels. John chapter 16. The judgment of Satan and his fallen angels. Satan's been judged. He's already been judged. Satan's already been judged, and all the fallen angels have been judged. Look at John chapter 16, verse 11. John chapter 16, verse 11. This is the third judgment. The judgment of Satan and his fallen angels. John chapter 16, verse 11. Jesus is talking about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit being sent. He will reprove the world of righteousness, of sin. And then look at verse 11. And the Comforter will reprove the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The prince of this world is the devil. He's also called by Paul the prince of the powers of the air. The devil runs this world. He is the prince of this world. Whenever he was tempting Jesus Christ, he told Jesus Christ as he took him up to the pinnacle of that mountain, he told Jesus Christ as he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, he told Jesus Christ, I'll give you everything you see if you'll just bow down and worship me. Jesus Christ didn't say, you don't own all those. He knows who owns them. The devil's running them. So I'm trying to get to the point of you're seeing how this world is run. It's run by the prince of this world, the devil. He's running things. And there's his judgment's already been judged. He's already been condemned. He's judged already. It's still in John. Turn to chapter 12. Turn back to chapter 12. Jesus had a lot to say about the prince of this world. Satan's been judged and so has his fallen angels. John chapter 12, look at verse 31. Here's Jesus Christ referring to judgment again. In John chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus Christ says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. He's going to be cast out. The time of this, this comes in stages. As you see, Satan says, I've seen Satan fall from heaven. And he says, there's lightning coming down. In Revelation chapter 12, it says that their war breaks out in heaven and Satan is cast out. And it says that he comes down to the earth. And the Bible says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because the devil knows his time is short. And the devil comes down. So this judgment takes place in stages. The biggest lie you were ever told or ever believed was that Satan's down in hell right now. If you watch cartoons or grew up around watching, like I did, I watched cartoons Sunday, Saturday morning cartoons, and you see, they always show the devil, he had a pitchfork, he had the little tail, and he's down in hell, and he's waiting for you. No, he's not down in hell right now. But he is going. Revelation chapter 20, he's took and he's thrown into hell, and that's his final resting place. That's his final judgment is down in hell. But the fallen angels will be judged also. Let me read some of this to you. 1 Corinthians 6:3, know you not that we shall judge angels? Jude chapter 1, verse 6 says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, those fallen angels, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Those fallen angels from Genesis chapter 6. 2 Peter tells us, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. There's judgment day is coming for the fallen angels. Judgment day is coming for Satan. It's coming in stages, but it is coming. And guys, it's kind of like Satan is the head chief. He's the godfather of this mob ring. And just like a godfather of a mob ring, when the godfather is brought in, all his underlings under him are brought in with him. So when Satan falls, his fallen angels are going to fall with him. And they're brought into custody. And so is all the followers of the devil. So are all the children of the devil. So if you're under one or two powers this morning, you're either under the power of Jesus Christ or you're under the power of the devil. And when the devil falls, you're going to fall right with him. Enter an everlasting hell. And it was never prepared for you. We just read it. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. Let's move on to the next one. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So this is going to be the fourth judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm moving along. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Seven judgments are prophesied. Seven judgments are talked about in the Bible. Just like there's seven mysteries, and we went through those last Sunday. Here's the seven judgments. And this is the judgment on sin. The judgment on sin, our sins. Both. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him, talking about Jesus, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. So this took place, this judgment for sin and sins took place at the cross on Calvary. That's when God done this. And that was when God took all the world's sin and he put it on Jesus Christ and he judged sin at the cross. So when you take Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what you're doing is you're putting yourself in Christ. And since you're in Christ, you've already paid the penalty for sin. Because Christ paid it. And then when he went into the grave, you went into the grave. When he resurrected, you're resurrected into new life. So you're in Christ. Wherever Christ is at, that's where you're going to be at. So spiritually speaking, Paul says, you're in heaven right now. We're in heavenly places seated right now. You just can't see it. We're doing a study on the life of David. If you come up here on Wednesday nights, we're doing a study on the life of David. And what's interesting about David, David's a young shepherd boy, and he's called out by Samuel, and he says, God's chosen you as king, David. And he anoints David in front of his dad, in front of all his brothers, in front of a bunch of people. David's anointed to be king. And he's not a king for another probably 15 years. See, the Bible says it does not yet appear what you are. You're kings and priests with God. God's got something really special planned for you. He anointed you, and he said, this is what's going to happen to Keegan. He's going to heaven. He's going to be one of my children. He's going to be in heaven as a king, as a priest. That's Keegan Hall right there. And you look at me, it's like, well, it's the same old Keegan. Just like it was the same old David. But I'm here to tell you, God don't lie. It's going to happen. I'm going to make heaven. Do you believe? Amen. That's what happened at the cross. So when Keegan Hall, when you took Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all your sins were put on Jesus Christ at the cross. So when I took Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior, I didn't just have all my sins up to that time cleared. I have all my sins cleared until I get to the other side of the grave. That's a great payment. That's what makes Jesus Christ so special. That's because judgment was already been done. God's already judged your sin at the cross. It's already been done. It's been judged. He's already took place. It's already took place. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. 1 Peter 3 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just, that's Jesus Christ, for the unjust, that's me and you, that he might bring us to God. That's why he did it. Because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. That's 1 Timothy 4. See, in the old days, when we were talking about all the fires going on up in Lubbock and up in the Panhandle, and I mean, just of course, it's horrible. But in the old days, when they had prairie fires, and that grass would be 6 foot tall, 6 foot tall, that prairie grass. And man, they'd hear about the prairie fires. There's no way you could outrun those. And what they learned to do was, they learned to go ahead, run ahead of it, and to start a fire and let it burn out and then jump into the burned out place. So when that prairie fire came roaring through there, this part had already been burned, and that prairie fire would go around them and keep on going. They'd already been in the place that had been judged. That's a type of your salvation in Jesus Christ. You've already gotten, you're in the place where God's already judged sin when you're in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our Passover.
Amen.
So whenever that blood was put on the door at the time of Egypt, when God says, I'm sending the death angel and he's going to come over, and if you can find a way to put the blood on the door, if you got in that door, you got on the other side of that door, the Bible, God says, when I see that blood, death's already been there, that'll be a token, that, and I'll pass over you. It didn't matter who was on the other side of the door. Could have been a murderer, could have been a thief, could have been a hooker, could have been a child molester, could have been a rapist. If you got on the other side of that door, you were saved. Because judgment, the blood, had already been paid. This morning, I don't care what sin you've done, if you can get into Jesus Christ, God's judged your sin at the cross right there. That's a judgment of sin. You got to get this stuff to understand. That's how God works. Say, well, that's not how I work. I don't care how you work. I care how God works. And God says, if you'll come and believe on him, Jesus Christ said, just like Moses was lifted up in the serpent, just like the serpent on the pole was lifted up in the time of Moses in the wilderness, whenever that serpent was put on that pole and that pole was lifted up, and he said, if you're bit of that fiery serpent, if you'll look at that pole, you'll be saved. Jesus Christ said, that's how I'm going to be. I'm going to be lifted up. If you'll just look on Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. I don't want to know your sins. I don't want to know what you've done. That's between you and God. But I can tell you now, you can get them cleansed and saved. You can get yourself saved by coming to Jesus Christ. That's one of the great judgments on sin. Look, you're in 2 Corinthians 5 with me. Skip up there to verse 10. Skip up there to verse 10. I'm foaming at the mouth. I'm so excited. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. The fifth judgment that's coming is the judgment seat of Christ. That's for everybody that's saved in this room. Verse 10, for we must all, we would be the Christians. Not everybody in the world, not every man, woman, but all the Christians, we, the Christians, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There's a judgment coming for you Christians. This time takes place right after the rapture. When you put it all together and you see that God's going to pour his wrath out on mankind and on the Jew during the tribulation period, you see that rapture right before the tribulation period, right before Jacob's trouble, right before the Antichrist comes in with the mark of the beast, you see that rapture take place, and during that seven-year period, that's when we're up in heaven and we're at the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody in this room that's saved, we're going to stand before Christ and we're going to be judged for what we've done for him, whether it be good or bad. If it's gold, if it's silver, if it's precious stones, those are really good works for the Lord Jesus Christ that we did for him. If it's wood, if it's hay, if it's stubble, that's all dead. Those are dead works. And see, the Bible says all that stuff's going to be put through the fire at the judgment seat of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 3. And if your work is put through the fire, if it's gold, if it's silver, it's just going to purify it as it goes through the fire. If it's precious stones, the fire can't touch it. And you'll come out and be, oh, look at that. It's purified. Look at that. But if it's wood, if it's hay, if it's stubble, that's all dead. That's dead works. Maybe you did some of it, but you did it for you and not for the Lord. It's going to come through that fire, and boom, it's going to burn up. And whatever left, what's left on the other side of that fire, that's your reward. See what the implication there is? It's gold. It's silver. It's precious stones. And if you look in Revelation, they're carrying around a crown. It implies that whatever's left on the other side of that, that's going to be the size of your crown. Maybe some of us in here have a pretty good size crown. Maybe some of us here have one about the size of my wedding ring and put on top of their head. I don't care. as long as I have something to give back to Jesus Christ. That's what you're going to have to give back. Now, it might not mean nothing to you now, and it might not be very important to you now, but when you're in heaven and you're seeing the glory of heaven and you know it's real and you know you're saved and you want to thank Him, you want to give something back to Him, and you see some of the people you love coming up there and they're giving their crown at the feet of Jesus and you don't have nothing to give, look at the verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. I'm not trying to terrify you. I'm trying to show you that the Lord, it's a terrible thing to think about standing before God, Jesus Christ, in judgment, and not have nothing to show for it. We will be judged for what we do, Christian. That's why it's so important to be working for the Lord and not be working for... Jesus Christ said, those things you're working for down here, the thief can get. The moth can corrupt it. Rust can get it. The government can tax it away from you. But not up in heaven. He says those treasures up in heaven, moth can't get, the thief can't get. And that's for eternity. Think about that. Keep that stuff in mind. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We're getting close to closing. 1 John chapter 1. My watch says it's only just now 11 o'clock, so I don't know what y'all say. First John chapter 1. So we're at the sixth judgment. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. So the sixth judgment is self-judgment of believers. We should be daily self-judging ourselves for our sins as believers. Now, our sins have been took care of at the cross of Calvary. But we're talking about sins between you and a father. Not sins between you and a judge. Those sins between you and a God, a judging God, He'll have to judge you and sentence you and throw you into hell. But sins between you and your father, you know what those sins do? They separate you in fellowship. Not in relationship. Relationship, he's still your father, you're still his son. But the fellowship is not right. You're not doing what's right, and the Father's not happy with you. So there's a daily self-judgment that needs to take place there. Look at verse 8, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Everybody in here sins. That's why I say that with such authority all the time. Verse 9, here's the great promise. You need to memorize this verse. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the kind of God you have. He knows you're a sinner. If you say you're not sinning, you're lying, you're deceiving yourself. What you need to do is you just need to confess those sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's the promise there in verse 9. You know, I just preached not too long ago on the Lord's Supper and what that was. And remember in the Lord's Supper, what did He tell us in the Lord's Supper? He says, but let a man examine himself. You need to be examining yourself. Look yourself in the mirror. Stop putting your finger on everybody else and start saying, what about me? What can I do better? It's easy to do that. In the world we're living in, it's so easy to say, look at my neighbor, look at my coworker, look at how they're acting. Look, it's so easy to point out and recognize the sin in everybody else, amen, but it's real hard to look at ourselves and say, is there something I could do better for my relationship with the God the Father to make it better? Verse 1 Corinthians 11:31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You don't want God judging you? In this, hey, you need to judge yourself. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. So if you don't judge yourself, what the Bible says, if you don't judge yourself, God, and your sins as a father, you know what a good father does? Not an American father. I'm talking about a good father. He spanks his kids. He wears their rear end out. You feel like you're getting wore out a little bit? Don't have that same joy, don't have that same pep. Maybe things don't go right. I mean, we used to feel like everything, you were blessed in every way, and then now all of a sudden you just feels like everything, you're not blessed. Might want to check. Never wrong, amen. I'm not saying every time it's that way, praise the Lord. It wasn't with Job, but sometimes you just need to check and say, okay, Lord, are you chastising me? Hebrews chapter 12 says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." If the Lord's not spanking you, he doesn't love you. I've been spanked. I know the Lord really loves me. Oh, he loves me. I've been spanked. You know, there's times where I feel like I'm so right with the Lord that I go out to fast food restaurants, I beat the crowds. That might not mean a lot to you, but it means a lot to me. No, seriously, there's times I walk into a fast food restaurant and I'll be like, man, there's nobody in line. And I'll go order my food, turn around, and there'll be like 20 people in line. I mean, thank God. That happened more than once. It was happening like for weeks at a time. I'm like, man, I'm blessed. I'm like Joseph. Everything I touch is turning to gold. And then what happened? I start going, and I'm waiting in these long lines. I'm like, what did I do wrong with God? Isn't that how it works? All right, let's close out Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, last one. So I showed you that there's a judgment of Israel. There's a judgment of the nations coming for how they treat the Jews. There's a judgment of Satan and his fallen angels. I showed you that there's a judgment of sins, and that's already took place at the cross. There's a judgment seat of Christ that's taking place for every Christian in the future after the rapture. I've shown you that there's a self-judgment of believers, that every believer in here needs to be self-judging themselves. If not, the Father's going to judge you and spank you. And the last one I want to show you, number 7, is the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. I'm not going to go real deep into this because I just preached on this not too long ago. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. This is after the tribulation period. This is after the 1,000-year period of Jesus Christ reigning on the earth. That's when the dead are resurrected. All those that are dead without Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, they've been waiting down in hell. Well, they're resurrected to stand before God in judgment. And it's a great white throne. This isn't the judgment seat of Christ. This is a different one. We judge with Jesus Christ at this one. This is when we judge the angels and the world, according to Paul. And the face of the earth and heaven fled away. All this is going to disappear that you're standing on. And there's found no place for them. And I saw the dead, verse 12, the dead. A Christian's never dead. He's always alive, therefore. Small and great stand before God. And the books were open. Everything you ever done is going to be written down in a book. And it's going to be open. This Bible is going to be open. The books are open, plural. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. If you don't want to be judged for your works, then you better get in Jesus Christ. I don't want to be judged for my work. I want God to look at me and say, what has Jesus did? Well, I'm in Jesus. Then that's what God sees Keegan doing. As a father and a son, there's things I'm doing he's going to straighten me out on. But as far as judgment comes right here, I'm in Jesus Christ because my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Look at verse 15. And whosoever where it's not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. All those that have rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, this is that judgment. Now let me tell you something. You just read it with me. You don't stand before God and say, okay, he's going to take all my bad. He puts it on this part of the scale. He's taking all my good, put it on this part of the scale. And if my good outweighs my bad, then I'll get to go to heaven. What's the stipulation for not being thrown into hell? If your name was written down in the book of life. And the way you get your name written down in the book of life is through Jesus Christ. It's the Lamb's book of life. If you want your name written down in the book of life, you got to take your faith and you got to put it on Jesus Christ. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Will you please save me? Save me. And you call out with your heart and the mouth confesses that, you'll be saved.